Okay, brethren, let's turn to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Let's begin reading in verse 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people, or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Now, the first order of business that Paul had when he got to Rome was to call the chief of the Jews. That 3 days after being there, he called the chief of the Jews together. Now, these are the chief men in Rome who have the scriptures of God and who are in a leadership capacity there in Rome. Now, those at Jerusalem who were in this same office, this same role, chief in Jerusalem, had just rejected Paul. And it was laid many serious charges against him. But still, when Paul gets here, he calls for these chief Jews. First. Our God delights in mercy. And when he gives life to one and equips that one and sends him, he's going to make him delight in mercy as well. But mercy at the expense of truth is not mercy at all. So Paul deals with these men in great mercy, wasting no time to get right to the truth. The mercy he shows to these men is by getting straight away to the fact that God the Father, Christ his King and Savior, shall have all the glory. Now, he states two things up front to these men. First of all, he states to them that he was bound with a chain for no other reason than because the men at Jerusalem had rejected Jehovah. They had rejected Christ, the gospel of Christ, the King and the Savior. And he declares, secondly, that he was sent there to Rome by that same King. And that he was sent there with that same gospel. And that's why he was there. Let's see this. Verse 17. When they were come together, these chief of the Jews, he said unto them, men and brethren, he's speaking of his countrymen, and he says, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Their rejection was not a matter of personal injury that Paul had done to them. That wasn't the case. Not a civil matter. It wasn't a matter of Paul doing anything against the customs of the fathers. That wasn't the case. That's what they charged him with, but that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case at all. And Paul, when he was delivered to the Romans, was found guilty of all those charges. Verse 18, he says, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go? The Romans would have, because there was no cause of death in me. Verse 19, he says, but when the Jews spake against them letting me go, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. He says, furthermore, I didn't come here to accuse them of any civil matter either. This thing is absolutely nothing at all to do with any civil crime. It's nothing to do at all with any of the charges they've laid against me concerning the customs of Moses. That's not what this is about at all. Not at all. This is a heart matter. That's what this is about. This is a matter of the rejection of Christ Jesus, the King of glory. That's what this is about. Now, he says here, verse 20, for this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you. And he's saying, I want to declare to you the truth of why I am bound with this chain. Here is the twofold reason, verse 20. Because that for the hope of Israel, I'm bound with this chain. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 14. He's declaring, first of all, that Jerusalem rejected Jehovah, God, when they rejected the gospel of Jesus, the King and Savior. Jeremiah verse 14. They knew this phrase well because the Jews at Rome, the chief Jews, had the scriptures memorized. And so they knew the words of Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah 14:8. Oh, the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble. This is who we're talking about. They knew this phrase and they knew who this spoke about. Look at John 17, verse 13. Verse 12, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. But you see here, O Lord, the hope of Israel. When you see the capital L-O-R-D, it means Jehovah. It means the Lord of hosts. It means God Almighty. He is God with us. Christ is God with us. He is God in human flesh. And Paul states that this rejection at Jerusalem is not a matter of civil offense. It's not a matter of personal opinion. It's a matter of the heart. That's what the cause of it is. When they rejected the gospel, Jesus of Nazareth, the King and the Christ, God with us. They rejected the Lord God, Jehovah. That's why I'm bound for the hope, the hope of Israel. Who's Israel? It wasn't those who rejected him. It wasn't those who rejected him. Israel are those who he makes to receive him, those to whom he sends this gospel and causes to receive him in true understanding and true knowledge of who he is. Now, the second thing he says here by saying this same phrase is that he's declaring that his chain, his chain, that is, everything that had come to pass to bring him to Rome, was in fact Christ the King sending him to proclaim the gospel at Rome just like he had done at Jerusalem. Look back at Acts 23:11. Acts 23:11. That's what the king said to him. Acts 23:11. And the night following, the Lord, the King, the sovereign Savior, stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. You've borne witness of me, you've testified of me, you've preached me, and you must do it at Rome too." Paul said, everything that's come to pass, everything that's transpired to put me in these chains, is my King working all things together to bring his gospel to somebody in this place. That's what the whole thing's been about. Look over at Ephesians 6, Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says this same thing several times. Ephesians 6, verse 19. He's asking them to pray for him that utterance may be given unto him from the King. That's where it comes. That's what we just read about, John chapter 7. He said, if a man speaks, you're going to know by his doctrine who sent him, if it's of God or if it's of man. Because if it's of God, he's going to seek God's glory only. And you're not going to be wondering what his credentials are, where he got. You're going to be rejoicing in it. And it's pure, and there's no unrighteousness in what he says. Paul says, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, brightly, clearly, plainly, whitely, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for the purpose of which I am an ambassador in bonds. That's why he's writing this from Rome. And he says, that's why I'm in these chains, that I might preach Christ boldly. That's why he sent me here to do that. Look over at Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Verse 3. He says the same thing again. Withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. That's why I'm in this chain, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. The King and the Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, had some sheep at Rome. He had some sheep at Rome that God the Father had given to him. He had redeemed them. He had paid his life's blood and paid the wages of sin they owed and redeemed them from all iniquity, from all curse, from all sin, from all transgression. He had taken their sins himself. God didn't impute their trespasses to them. He charged them to his Son, and his Son bore the wrath for those sheep. They're his purchased possession. He owns them. They belong to him. And God the Father, when he raised him up, he said, I have set my King in my holy hill of Zion. And he said, I am well pleased with him. And he said, ask of me, I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. And he said, this day have I begotten thee. And Christ said, I will declare the decree. I will declare this decree. The king says, I will declare this. I will preach this. I will make sure that the world knows my sheep are called out knowing that I have accomplished this and God the Father is well pleased for my righteousness' sake. Now, these purchased possessions that belong to the Lord, the King, and the Savior. If he's just a Savior, he won't do you any good. He's the King and the Savior. He's the Lord and the Savior. He doesn't save in supreme grace, superior grace. He saves in sovereign grace. And these sheep in Rome are blind. They're lost. They have a thick covering, a thick refuge of clay. They have the Scriptures. They have the Scriptures. Why didn't then he just speak through the Scriptures and save them? You know, he appeared to Cornelius when Cornelius was praying, and Cornelius was seeking to know if Christ Jesus, if Jesus is indeed the Christ and the Lord and the Savior promised. Why didn't the Lord just reveal that to him right there on the spot? Why did he send for Peter and say, Peter, you go down there and preach the gospel to Cornelius? And why did he give Cornelius a heart together with his household and say, we're all here together to hear whatsoever God has said to you? Why is that? Because that's how it pleased the Father. That's how it pleased God to do it. And the King of Glory, everything has been given into his hand. The government is on his shoulder. This one who from the foundation laid everything on the earth, made it. That's who he is. He's sovereign to do that. He's sovereign to do everything else. He laid it. He laid it. He laid the foundation. He did it. He's always sent. He's the one who appeared to Moses in the bush and sent Moses. He's the one who preached the gospel throughout the generations. He's the one who has come and spoken truth. He's the one who sends forth his messengers in truth. He's the one. He is the one. But how are these spiritually blind, lost sheep that he purchased, how are they going to hear him? How are they going to know him? Turn to Romans 10:14. They had the Scriptures. They had chief Jews here that were leading them and teaching them. There was a problem with that. This king hadn't sent them. This king hadn't sent them. And we're fixing to see. They're blind. And they don't know this. They don't know this message. They're as blind as those that Paul preached to at Jerusalem. And he said, it's this king, the hope of Israel, that I'm here. Now watch this. He says, Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Faith has an object. Faith lays hold of a person. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, when they said, how do you, John 7, I read it to you in the Scripture reading, how do you know the Scriptures? How do you know the doctrine of God having never been taught? And he said, my doctrine's not mine. It's him, it's his that sent me. His that sent me. And he said, if any man be willing, if any man is given a heart to know, to desire, a new spirit, been made willing, he shall know of the doctrine, by the gospel that is preached, whether it's of God or it's of man. How? Because the one that preaches is going to seek the glory of him that sent him. That's why Christ, as the all-preeminent prophet, sitting there in that instance, is teaching us this lesson. He's saying, the prophet who is sent is going to glorify one. He's going to glorify the one that sent him, and not man. Not man. Not man. And he said, this is how those that have been made willing are going to discern and know, because they speak of the true God. The true God. No lies of a truth. And he said, if you had this willingness, if you had this understanding, you'd know this doctrines of God. You'd know where I got this doctrine, and you'd be rejoicing in me. Period. Now he says here, how are they going to believe in him of whom they have not heard? You're going to have to hear about him. If words mean anything, if there was any purpose of God giving us these scriptures, it's going to be because these scriptures declare who God is, the true and living God. They declare how he saves. They declare who he saves. They declare why he does it the way he does it. They declare where he is. They declare he's reigning. They declare he's able. They declare he is the victorious God and Savior. How shall they hear without a preacher? Well, these folks at Rome had plenty of preachers, didn't they? These are the chief Jews. How shall they preach except they be sent? Except they be sent. A preacher's a herald. He's a herald. He goes forth crying, proclaiming the King who's coming. Paul is telling them, he's declaring to them, for the hope of Israel, for King Jesus himself, by King Jesus himself, for the proclamation of his fully accomplished work of righteousness, he has sent me here. That's why I have this chain. John the Baptist was sent to herald the coming of the King into the earth. Paul and all of Christ's messengers are sent to proclaim the coming of the King into the hearts of his people. That's right. That's what he does through this proclamation of this victorious Redeemer. And God the Father receives all the glory because he has given all this power to his Son. Because he's well beloved, he's well pleased with him for his righteousness' sake. He's given him all power in heaven and in earth. He did it from the beginning. A glorious high throne is our Lord from the beginning, our sanctuary from the beginning. He redeems in righteousness. He purposes in righteousness. He sets forth the truth in righteousness. He redeems in righteousness. He converts in righteousness. It means truth. He has no mercy apart from truth. Look at Christ on the cross. Truth, judgment, righteousness is there manifest. God will by no means do anything unjustly without truth, out of order. He's a God of heaven and earth, he's holy God. Shall he not do right? And that is our mercy, that he will do right. But you take that judgment away, that truth away, and you just do it in the name of mercy, wanting to have compassion on folks. And it's not mercy anymore. It ceases to be mercy the moment that truth is gone from the mercy. Understand that? Not truth at all. He receives all the glory and the salvation of his children. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 1. Something I noticed today that was just a blessing to me. I had just had a small portion of this scripture written down, and I went back and just read the first two chapters. And I just want to read this to you. Look at this. Look at chapter 1, verse 8. It's declaring that you want to know what Paul preached to them when he declared the kingdom, and he declared the kingdom of God concerning Jesus Christ. Read the book of Hebrews. Here's what he says to them. Watch this, verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Can he prepare a feast in the wilderness? Can he? Can he give manna in the middle of the wilderness? Can he give water in the middle of a dry and thirsty land? He's God. And look, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. He's on a throne. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. He's quoting scriptures. He's quoting the law and the prophets, declaring who Christ is. He's God the King. And he says, And thou, Lord, King, in the beginning. He's talking about this same one, this same King Jesus. In the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth. You see, this government was given to him before the foundation of the world. This power to do all things were given to him of the Father from the foundation of the world. And he hath laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. He made them. He's going, you know when they're going to burn up? When he comes. The fire. When the fire comes. The word. God himself comes again. He's going to burn it up. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. But his throne's going to remain. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. You think of the power? The power? He spoke the heavens and the earth into existence. Why didn't he just speak to Cornelius? Why didn't he just speak and make it so? Because he's of power to do things exactly how he... Why didn't he just do it without even creating the heaven and the earth? Because he'd do it like he wants to do it. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? They're his ministers, he say. He tells them where to go. And he sends them forth and they do his bidding. The angels do. Think he has any trouble doing that with kings of this earth? With men of this earth? Think he has any trouble? He spoke one time by a donkey. Did that mean the donkey was saved? No, not at all. But the donkey spoke the truth while he spoke. And he did that to correct a false prophet. Let me ask you something. Did Judas Iscariot preach the truth when he went forth with the others and preached? Yeah, he did. Was he saved? No, he wasn't. But when he went forth, he preached the truth. Why? Because this God's able to do that. He's able to send forth this gospel in truth. Just ask, he said, this is what the Lord said. You ask yourselves, when you hear the doctrine, that's what he said in John 7. Just ask yourself, who's getting the glory? And if you have a heart and an understanding to know God's going to get all the glory, then you'll know if the message doesn't give God all the glory, I didn't send him. I didn't send him. Therefore, chapter 2, verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any times we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect, if we shut our ears, if we shut... You know what the Jews at Jerusalem had done? They simply said, that's not how we understand things, Paul. They shut their eyes and they shut their ears to the gospel Paul preached. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? When was that? Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. It was then. It was back then. That's when he began sending forth his messengers. And was confirmed to us by them that heard him. That really heard him. That truly heard him by his grace. God also bearing witness that this is the King. That this bearing witness with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. This is God we're talking about. Now, back to our text. Let's see what happens here. Verse 21, and they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. Who receives the glory for that? You think that was all by accident? This same King who worked all this together and bound Paul in a chain and paved the way, used the Roman government to completely foot the bill to get him to Rome to preach this gospel. This same King who did all of that, who ruled the storms and the wind when he dwelt here below. This same King ruled that hurricane that put Paul on the island of Melita. You think he could have sent a hurricane and put those letters on the bottom of the ocean? Yes. Yes, if they were even sent. He could have just turned their hearts so they didn't even bother with it. They'd gotten rid of the pest. They'd gotten rid of him. They could go on with their religion like they wanted to, just like they did when they crucified Christ the King, Prince of Life. This is the one who turns the king's heart. He turns evil men. He turns the hearts of his people. He turns the hearts of all to in whom he dwells. And those who are even the wicked kings of this earth, could he not shut their mouths so that they couldn't open their mouths and say any evil word contrary to Paul? For he got there with his gospel. Sure he could. Verse 22. But we desire, we deem it proper, to hear of thee what thou thinkest. Now listen to how they say this. For as concerning this sect, this heresy, these aren't the brethren to whom Paul wrote when he wrote the epistle to the Romans. These men are speaking with reproach for Christ. As concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it's spoken against. Verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. Now they were all looking at natural things. They were looking at natural things. And he said, God set up an earthly kingdom to show you heavenly things, to show you spiritual things, to show you everlasting things. Three things they trusted in. These are the three things wherein all bigotry come about. It's not bigotry to show mercy in truth. It's bigotry to show it without truth. Because therein men say, it's something about me that made me to differ from you. That's what these fellows are going to do. That's what they're going to do. Some of them. But mercy and truth are speaking out and declaring this. It's not of blood, it's not of the will of man, and it's not of the will of the flesh. They thought it was of blood. They thought that being born into of heaven, of parents that were children of Abraham, they were born into this kingdom, and that made them children of God. And Paul declares to them, that's not how you get into this kingdom. You get in this kingdom by being born of the Spirit of God's grace. That's how you get in this kingdom. In Matthew 12, you remember the Lord had cast out some evil spirits, some devils out of some men. He's the Word. He's the Gospel. He had done this on earth, and he's declaring. I've been reading Matthew 2, Pete, and all the way up to chapter 13, that where we are now. He's declaring over and over what he does through this word of his gospel. Because this word of his gospel declares what he's done at Calvary's tree. And he says, they said, you did this by a devil. And he said, no man can cast out. Any kingdom divided against itself won't stand. And he said, you have to enter into a strong man's house and bind the strong man. Bind him. And that's what he does through this gospel. He enters in and binds Satan and his princes and his rulers and those that he sends forth to try to pollute the minds of God's children. He binds him. He binds him. And he said after that, he was declaring to him what he does. And he said, if he just has his house swept and garnered, and that spirit goes out of him for a little while, but it's not been bound. That evil spirit's not been bound. Goes through the earth, comes back, and comes and finds his house swept and garnished, takes with him seven more spirits worse than those, and he goes in, and now he's worse than he was before. He's saying to them, you fellas are trying to cast out devils by this false gospel, by this thing you call mercy, which is no mercy at all. It's oppression. It's bigotry. It's harlotry. It's falsehood. It's evil. And he said, and all you're doing is making men twice dead. Twice dead. And they said, your father and your mother and your brethren are out here. They want to see you. And he said, who's my mother and my brethren? Who are the children of my kingdom? Who are of my house? They are the ones who do the will of my Father. They're the ones who hear this gospel and submit to the Lord and declare He is the King who has redeemed His children. That's how you get in this kingdom. Not by physical genealogy. They believed that because they had trusted in the will of the flesh, what their parents had done for them, in circumcising them the eighth day. And Paul declares to them, circumcision is done by Christ Jesus in putting away the sins of the flesh by the sacrifice of Himself. He laid down His life and He did this. And He sends forth the Spirit of God in truth and in spirit. And when He does, He circumcises the heart of His people. And He's a Jew, which is one inwardly. You realize that He's speaking to the chief of the Jews, whose own countrymen, who they declare to be brethren, were those very Jews at Jerusalem that had forsaken Him, that had rejected God and rejected Paul and accused Paul of all these things. And Paul has the audacity to come to them and tell them it's not for any other reason than that they rejected God. Why'd he tell them that? Because he's a faithful God sent messenger. That's why. That's why. And if God's going to save them, He's going to make them to know that natural genealogy, those natural mothers and fathers, whatever you think it is about the natural descent of a man, natural circumstance, those are not what bring you into the kingdom of heaven. Not at all. And he says here, they trusted in the will of man, their imaginary obedience. There's never been a man that's ever kept the Sabbath, but one who is the Sabbath, who is the Lord of the Sabbath. Never. Never been a man that ever kept the law, ever. Ever. But Christ Jesus, the God-man. He's the only one. He's the fulfillment of the precept, and he's the fulfillment of the penalty of it. And by faith we established the whole law of God. That's it. And they were looking for the restoration of an earthly political nation. Because all these other things were natural, they were looking to natural blessings, natural things, a natural kingdom, all of this. And he's declaring to them, this kingdom's everlasting. It has been from everlasting. It's God who is eternal who is the king of this kingdom. It's the king who's not bound by men. He's not bound by what men think. We need to take our experience and lay it down at the feet of Christ and leave it there. These fellas right here knew the doctrine of election. These fellas right here believed they were the elect of God, but caught by natural reason. They knew that God's lamb, the high priest and the lamb, were for Israel only and nobody else. They knew that. They had an understanding from the scriptures that God was sending a Messiah in whom all this was going to be filled. They knew that. Do you know what they didn't know? God. They didn't know that Messiah. Well, you can read all of that. And I would encourage you. We went through several messages back in Acts 13, verses 16 through 52. And that's Paul stood up and he declared this very thing. And you can go back, listen to those, read those scriptures. But look at verse 24. And some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not. He says there in Acts 13, as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. He said it was to many as believe, John said, to them he gave the power, the privilege to become the sons of God, which were born not of the will of man, nor of the will of, not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, but of God. That's how. Well, somebody here, as Paul preached this gospel, the incorruptible seed entered in, and they were born again. And they beheld what Paul declared. They beheld to these ones in their heart through the gospel. Paul said, therein is the revelation of the righteousness of God. And God manifest His righteousness in them. They beheld Christ Jesus, the righteousness of God. They beheld that He is the end of all things, the end of everything that is written, the end of everything that has been created and declared throughout this gospel, the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. They beheld Christ is all and in all. And they were given repentance. And they confessed that everything they had been trusting in, everything, all their understanding, everything they had beforehand was just natural light, natural understanding. Looking to natural things. And they repented from it. And it was done as every sinner saved in this book has been saved. The very same righteousness that our God is. The very same judgment that our God is. The very same truth that our God is. And that's mercy. That's mercy. Some didn't believe. We're going to look at the rest of that next time. We're out of time. But let me turn over to John 9. Let me read this to you. Acts 28. Let me read the rest of this to you. When they agreed not among themselves, these ones that didn't believe, they didn't agree amongst themselves. They didn't know why they weren't all departing for the same reason. And that's the fact. That is the fact. Men can go from one place to another. They can go from one preacher to another. They go from one place to another and always have a problem and never be satisfied till they come to the gospel. Because all that's any other way is in a natural man is just division. That's all it is. But God calls out of that into the unity of the faith, the unity of the Spirit. And he said, well, spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. Again, he's declaring that Isaiah spoke by the Holy Ghost. He said, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall hear, see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross. Remember thick clay we looked at Sunday? That word gross means thickly. It's from a word that means pitch. It means it's thickly sealed, hardened. Their ears are dull of hearing, weighty. Their eyes, they've closed. Now, they did that. And when he sent Isaiah, he said, this is why I'm sending you with this message. This Holy One that Isaiah saw, he said, I'm sending you with this message to shut their eyes, to make them blind, to harden their hearts further. You can read that in John 12. The Lord said that. He hardeneth their hearts so that they couldn't believe because they wouldn't walk in the light he'd given them. I talked to Emma last night. And I told her, you know, you have the gospel preached to you. You can hear the Bible class lesson, and that's light. Even though you are going to have to be given spiritual light, spiritual understanding, life by God, you have some light here that he's given you. Walk in it. Take those Bible class lessons, and the following Sunday, you're going to have that in your bulletin. Take those and read those. Listen to them again. Study through them. Apply your heart to this. And he said, with what measure you meet it, it'll be measured to you. He said, it's because if you're able to do this, it's because he's given you the heart to do it. But if you're saved, God gets all the glory. But if not, it's our own fault, brethren. It's our own fault. Now let me show you something here real quickly, and this is it. We'll be done. But in John chapter 9, the Lord is teaching us how that he came and he's working the works, the manifestation of the works of the Lord Jesus Christ in this blind man. That was the reason he was born blind. And through this, he's manifesting what it is that he accomplishes by his work of redemption. He took clay and he took spittle. He is God who is spirit, and he's clay who is dust. He's God-man. That's who he is. And that's how he made the bomb. And he came, truth came, the gospel came with his apostles, and he put this bomb on this blind man, and he told him, now you go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And everything about that pool is a picture and an illustration of the washing of the water by the Word, the washing of regeneration by the Holy Spirit. And the man did what he said, and he came away seeing. And right away, he sent to some into the synagogue, and some men there in that synagogue had a thick covering. They had made their hearts hard, and God had hardened their hearts so they couldn't see. And they said, we're not giving up this synagogue. We're not giving up everything that we've devoted our lives to and follow after him and give him the glory. We're not doing that. And his own mama and daddy said, we're not doing it either. He's of age. Let him speak for himself, because they were afraid of getting kicked out of the synagogue. And when it was over, when they kicked him out, look at John chapter 9, verse 35. Let me find my place. John 9:35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Listen to this spirit now. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? This is the whole point of the message. I've come to give sight to the blind. I've come to give a new spirit in my people. I've come to make their hearts teachable. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it's he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Now look at this. And Jesus said, For judgment, for truth, for righteousness, I am come into this world. He said, I'm the light of it. I'm the light of it. That they which see not might see. Those that are blind, like this blind man, that were just in need and desperate, that they might see, and that they which see, those that are mighty and noble and able and don't have any need of the light, that they might be made blind. This is Christ speaking. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words. And when the gospel is preached, I don't care when or where or any time, this is when people finally hear it, they always say, Are you saying I don't know the gospel? That's exactly what these men said. Are we blind also? They said this to the Word, to the gospel, to the King, to the Savior himself. You see the obstinate hardness of the heart? Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, if you were absolutely, utterly dependent upon God to save you, you'd hear the doctrine and you'd be rejoicing in God who sent it, Christ who sent it, who gets all the glory for sending it, and he does it in, you'd rejoice in the truth and righteousness wherein is mercy. And you should have no sin. But he said, Now ye say, We see. We see. Therefore, he said, Your sin remaineth. And he said, This is why I came. Now, if you'll read 1 Corinthians 1:30, Apostle Paul said, That's why he chose to do this through what the mighty and the noble man calls foolishness. Preaching. Preaching. Because he's going to bring their wisdom to nothing. To nothing. Blind those who have hardened their hearts against the power, sovereign power of God to say. Do you hear him speak? This is Christ we're talking about. He gets all the glory in every aspect of salvation. Go home and read that passage again in John 7. He that is sin of God, you rejoice in the doctrine when you've been made willing, and you'll know that he that sin of God seeks the glory of him that sent him. And you'll know that's true doctrine. Amen.